Try to follow the mind of the Lord this morning and see what He'll do for us. If you have your Bibles, turn to Judges chapter number 9. Judges chapter number 9. And the Lord will make some sense of this. Now, I've studied about 4 or 5 chapters here just all together. It all went together. It's kind of and there's no way that I can go over everything that I studied here in the Word of God. But what I'd like to do is just maybe pull out some thoughts and give you something here from the Word of God. We'll read just a few of the verses here in Judges, beginning in chapter 9, verse 1, see if we can find a springboard to start on. Judges chapter 9 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal." Now, you need to understand something here. Jerubbaal is Gideon. Okay? You remember the story. God used Gideon to defeat the Midianites, and he used Gideon with 300 men, and the way they spread out around the valley, and once they broke their pictures and their lights did shine, they blew their horns, it looked like tens of thousands of God's soldiers. And when in fact it was only 300. And God discomfited the Midianites, and most of them killed one another trying to get away. That's the way God does. God don't make you fight this morning, but He does ask that you hold the sword. Amen. And God will fight your battles for you, but you have to be willing to fight. You have to be willing to stand. And so God used Gideon, and Gideon, with these 300 men, delivered God's people. And I'll get into a little more about that, but let's read on here. "And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren and communed with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, Speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether is better for you, either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh." Now, just by way of introduction, let me kind of bring you up to speed here what's taking place. We're in the book of Judges. There's no king in Israel. But yet Israel wants a king. Israel wants a leader. Israel wants somebody to go before them. So Gideon, of course, leads the 300. He defeats the Midianites. He goes after their kings and so on and so forth. But when that's all said and done, Gideon, or Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, has 70 children. And that's 70 children. He has 70 children by many wives. He has more than one wife. He has several wives, and he has 70 children. Now, then also he had another child. His other child was born by his concubine. She was a Shechemite. She gave birth to Abimelech. Okay, now, this Abimelech is the son of Jerubbaal, but not by blood, not a blood relative to his brothers and sisters. In other words, he had 70 by his wives, and then he had Abimelech, all right, by his concubine. And so his mother, he had not the same mother as the other brothers. Okay? And so he had Abimelech. Now Abimelech is from this place of Shechem. And so he goes to these people in Shechem and he says to them, now, which is better for you to have a leader? We know Gideon's fixing to pass on. You need a leader. You need a somebody in charge. And rather than have 70 fighting over this throne, I'll just do it. Because I'm your brother. I'm one of you. And Shechem liked that. And so they chose Abimelech to be their leader. The Bible says in verse 3, his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem. All these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech. For they said, he is our brother. You see that? And they gave him 70 pieces of silver. Now they gave him 70 pieces of silver. They gave him silver so that he could go out and hire some vain men, some light men, some wicked men to follow him to go to the house of his father and murder his brethren. That's why they gave him 70 pieces of silver. They put a price on every head of his brethren. The Bible says in verse number 4, they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. And he went unto his father's house at Ophrah, and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, or the sons of Gideon, okay, being 70 persons upon one stone. Notwithstanding, yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. Amen. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. When they told it to Jotham, now that's the youngest son of Gideon, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. Now, what he's about to do, Jotham is on this mountain, and he's going to preach, he's going to prophesy, he's going to bring the word unto the house of Shechem in Milo. And he says to them, he says, listen, there's something that you need to hear, and God needs to hear from you. There's something I want to say to you in your ears. And so we see here already that Abimelech has taken these vile men, these wicked men, and he's murdered these sons of Gideon. He murdered them all in one place on one stone. And he came back. Why? Well, when God don't give you something, amen, you have to get it any means you can. You have to fight for it. Listen, the Bible says promotion comes from the Lord, amen. And if God don't bring the promotion, you'll have to find other means. Hey, we're living in a world of self-promotion, amen. We're living in a world where men strut around and promote themselves so that they can become a greater. Hey, Abimelech is a self-made king. And we're going to see here in just a moment that he is also a type of the Antichrist. And I want to just look now, and I want to see the subject I want to talk about. And really, if you want to put a title on it this morning, it would be making right choices. We need to learn to make right choices. I believe that our homes are in turmoil, they're in a mess, because God's people don't make the right choices. I believe that even in our everyday life, the very choices that we make can have extreme effects on others and even affect down through generations. For example, I preached some time ago, and I'll remind you about how that Abraham and Sarah made a bad choice. God promised him that he would give him a seed. Amen. God promised him a son, and they were old, and she was barren and dried up, and she couldn't figure out how God would do it. So they decided they would make the choice. They would help God. God didn't know what he said. He must have made a mistake. So we're going to do the only thing that's logical to do. We're going to have Abraham sleep with the nanny. That's what they did. And what a mistake it was. Our country is in turmoil. Our two towers fell because of Genesis chapter 16. There's bloodshed in Iraq, in Iran, in Israel today, because somebody made a bad choice in Genesis chapter number 16. The reason that people strap on bombs and walk into department stores and blow them to kingdom come is because it's a direct result of Genesis chapter number 16. You say, what was it, preacher? When a woman got out of the will of God and suggested to her husband to go in and sleep with the maid. What a stupid choice. What a bad decision. And because of that decision, because of that choice, people are in trouble today. Bloodshed, wars, rumors of wars. Why? Because of one bad choice. Notice here, if you will, please. The Bible says, verse number 8. Now, Jotham is going to use a parable to give a truth. He's going to use this parable. Look at verse 8. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Anyway, they said, olive tree, you come be our king. And he said, no, they ain't going to do it. And so they went, the Bible says, the tree, verse 10, said to the fig tree. They said, fig tree, come be our king. And the fig tree said, no. And then in verse number 12, the Bible said, then said the trees unto the vine, come and be our king. And the vine said, no. Now, I want you to get this picture, and I want to give you a doctrinal application. And I want you to see what I'm trying to get across here. Here is the olive tree, a type of the Holy Ghost of God. Here is a fig tree. Figs is for Israel. It's a type of God the Father. Here is the vine. Jesus said, I am the true vine. Amen. And so we have here in these three types a type of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have those in type in this tree section. As a matter of fact, so much for this crowd, it says that Eve ate the apple. Amen. I believe it was grapes. I believe that the vine was a tree. You say, how you know? Because of this passage. it was a tree, amen? And so this vine, this vine and these fig trees and this olive tree, they said, look here, we could be king. Basically, let me just make it simple for you, but it's got to be our way. You see, we want God to do it our way. You see, Israel wanted a king. Israel, when Jesus came into this world, born in a manger in Bethlehem, Israel was looking for a king. They wanted a king. They needed a king. They didn't want the God's king. They wanted Jesus to be their king, but they did not want it on God's conditions. They didn't want the fact that they got to get their hearts right and get that fixed first, amen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. They wanted a king. And so what we have here in typology is Israel rejecting God the Father in the Old Testament, God the Son in the New Testament. They rejected God the Father. God said to Samuel, don't worry about it. It's me they're rejecting, amen? When they made Saul king, they said, we want a king like other nations. Am I getting too far confusing to you? They said, we want a king like other nations. And God said, I'm your king. And they said, no, we want a king like everybody else has. And so God gave them what they wanted. Bad choice. Amen? They made the wrong choice. And so they got their king. Israel wanted a king. They rejected God the Father. And then He sent His Son, manifest in the flesh, God incarnate. And they said, this is His Son. We'll kill Him and it'll be ours. And so what did they do? They rejected God the Son. And then Stephen stands up in Acts chapter 7. And he says to them, for the first 7 chapters of the book of Acts, the apostles, the disciples, were trying everything they could to get Israel one more chance, one more time to receive God, the Holy Ghost. You say, why would they do that? Because when Jesus was hanging on a cross, when He was dying on a cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because of that prayer, because God answered that prayer, He sent them one more opportunity to receive Him as their king. And so Stephen standing there in Acts chapter 7, and he said, you stiff heart, stiff neck, hardness of heart, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. God slams the door on the Jews, sets them aside, and behold, a black man gets saved. You better thank God, he said. By our choices, we destroy other families by our choices. It might be just a choice. Maybe you have an opportunity. Maybe you just have a choice to tell some garbage you know about somebody. Maybe you have a choice today, and you found out some goosey stuff or some kind of rumor, and you know if I say this, it could destroy them, it could destroy him, it could destroy her, and if I tell this, it's gonna really come down on them. And you know, now you've got to make a choice. And I found out when it's time to make a choice like that, why don't you make the right choice and tell God about it? Don't go around and tell everybody else what garbage you found on the Sunday school teacher, or what garbage you found on the preacher, or what garbage you found on the deacon, or what garbage you found on the choir leader. Why in the world would you do that to harm your own body? When you talk about somebody in the church, you're talking about Jesus Christ. When you stab somebody in the church, you're stabbing Jesus Christ. When you run down somebody in the church, you're running down Jesus Christ. You're running down the body of Christ. You're running down your own body. Bad choices. Choices we make can cost us great things in our life. You need to learn to make the right choice. How do I learn to make the right choice? I believe if you have to make a decision and you have to make it so quick that you can't take at least 3 days to pray about it, you need to say no. I just want, if somebody comes to you, it's kind of like some of you ladies or men go to these used car lots and these new car lots. And that, you know what he says? You know, this is a one of a kind. You ain't ever going to find one like this again. This is made just for you. It's got this and it's got that. And by the way, I've got three families coming tonight to look at it. And if you don't get it now, you'll lose your chance. And you better learn to make the right choice. If you don't make the right choice, you may have to live with the outcome. I'm trying to be practical and give you some help. I finished the doctrinal part. I mean, I could go on with it, but I want to make this point here. We ruin ourselves, we ruin our homes, we ruin our church when we refuse. You know something? It goes right back to Abraham. We do some of the stupidest things. Why do we do so many stupid things? Because we don't sit down sometimes and just count the cost. We don't sit down sometimes and just weigh out the thing. How's it going to affect me? How's it going to affect others? You know, there's only one person that I know of in this church, listen to me, that's licensed to be a busybody. You're looking at him. It is my job as a pastor to be a busybody. It is my job to help you and to shepherd you. That's what I want to do. It's my job to investigate what your needs are and so on, etc. And I mean, by the Lord, you understand what I'm saying. But outside of that, we're not to be busybodies in other men's matters. We're not to be going around and spreading gossip and rumors. You say, well, it's true. It's still gossip. Amen. Why would you, listen, what is your motive for hurting someone? I just wanted everybody to know why, you know, what's really going on. Why? What's your purpose? There's only three reasons anybody asks a question. Did you know that? There's only three reasons why anybody asks a question. Number one, so they can get the answer. Pretty simple, ain't it? Number two, so somebody else will know they know the answer. Number three, to find out if the person they're asking knows the answer. Or if they have something over them. And you know what? We spin our wheels trying to step ahead of somebody else. I have never in my life lived in a day like I've seen today. We have seen so many Christians in the act of self-promotion. What? How can I get on top? Listen, why don't you just come ask me instead of doing all that foolish stuff you're doing and quit trying to promote yourself? Preachers are the world's worst. Preachers today go around blowing their horn and tooting their whistle and spreading their feathers for self-promotion. so everybody will know that I'm the best preacher around. Don't matter if you have no character. Don't make any difference if you're sorry as the devil. Just long as, you know, you can preach, man. And most of the time, the fact of the matter is, preachers have learned how to preach, and they don't even need God anymore. And that's where we are. We're self-centered people. We know that perilous times are here because men have become lovers of their own selves. We love ourselves. We pet ourselves. Everything we do is for what we can get out of it for ourselves. Amen? We're in a sad shape. We need to learn to make the right choices. Do you know the choices I make may decide whether I keep a marriage? It may decide where we live. Listen. I believe one of the reasons that God impressed me to preach this message is because of the phone call that I got this morning from Brother Cooper. Now, these people had to make a choice. And he resigned his church Wednesday night because they chose Santa Claus. They made a choice. But they didn't just choose Santa Claus. They chose the NIV. Because that's the preacher they're having this morning. You see, you got to be careful at the choices that you make. It may cost you more than you want to pay. We need to be careful and choose those words that we're about to say to our loved ones. We better be careful and make wise choices when it comes to what we're going to do about that job. I mean, we could go on. I'm not going to do that. We're going to have another preacher in just a minute. I'm just saying to you this morning, folks, we need to be careful. You should never have to make a choice. Listen, if it's not already answered directly from the Word of God, you should never have to make a choice that you don't pray about. We are to pray about everything. We are to pray about where we're going to eat lunch. The problem is we as children of God don't pray. We've learned how to do it without God, and we don't need God for the little things. But you know what? We never speak to Him concerning those little things. And then when the big thing drops and the bottom falls out, we wonder why God can't be found. Amen. Don't worry, God. If I need you, I'll call you. God's not a telephone operator. He's not a spare tire in the trunk. He's God. He's over your life. He controls your life. And He has the final say about it. What we need to learn to do is make the right choices through prayer. You can make the right choices through preaching. Did you know that? Do you know you can pray about something? God can give you an answer from the pulpit. And He does. God gives us answers through preaching of the Word of God. Amen. You know what our problem is a lot of times, though? We don't like the answers God gives.
No, sir. That's right.
We'll take a chance on our choices. Of all the people, of all the souls that I've counseled with, sit there and tell them, this is what you have to do. This is imperative. This is the way to work. It will not get right unless you do it this way. And they go the other way. 8 to 9 out of 10 that I counsel always do it the opposite of God's will.
Yeah.
And then you know what they do? Get mad at the preacher when it don't work out. We better learn, folks, to make some wise choices
in our life.
Your life is full of choices. And I'm going to tell you something. You leave this world, you've never made a right, sound choice about your destiny. About where you're going when you die. You mark it down this day. That you've made that choice. I've been in meetings and preached to people about hell and preached about heaven and give them the gospel and said, now you got to make a choice tonight. And they said, no, I ain't going to choose tonight. But they did choose. Sometimes the worst choice you'll ever make is not to answer. Sometimes a no answer is the only thing you need. Just people go to hell every day. You say, how do they get there? Just being their self. Loving their self, doing nothing.
Amen.
All right, let's stand. Brother, you come. We're going to sing a song. And this other brother's going to get ready in just a few minutes. He's going to preach, and we're going to